I tell you, it's a wonderful thing. Hey, everybody go. That's good. I have excellent people up there. They'll figure it out. I want to thank everyone who came to the Easter party yesterday at our house. And it was good weather. I was glad it was, a lot of kids got to catch fish. Even Kelsey caught a fish. She didn't want to touch it, but she caught it. We had to talk her into it finally to grab the lip of it and hold it while we could take a picture. But she was screaming pretty bad. But other than that, it was all right. I think everybody had a wonderful time. A few people got egged. That war will be ongoing for a while. I have a feeling that one's not over. Karen is really mad. They was even throwing them at her vehicle as she left. I was like, man. All I could tell her was, you got to go wash it now. You know, that's all I could tell her. So I said, run and go wash it quick. But it was a wonderful time, and I want to thank everybody who came and participated and was part of it, and all the fun we had. And it's amazing. This is my favorite holiday. This is my favorite holiday. Christmas and others are usually the kids and other people's holidays, but this one is my favorite. There is no giving presents. There is no really anything that we have to do. We just simply have to celebrate. And the ability to celebrate is built in whether you actually believe or don't believe what is being said. I have, over the last few days, I have to be real careful during this time. I will fuss at a TV. Does anybody fuss at TVs? I have this problem. I will yell at folks talking on television. And so I have to be real careful, because whether it's the news channels or anything else, they'll have people on the broadcast, and they're trying to describe Jesus and trying to describe what Easter's about. And you've got all these different people that, you know, whether Satan is really a real person or whether it's just some kind of spiritual thing or some type of... And I'm like, come on. We have a book. It's not that hard. Why are we debating something that's written in a book? If it was something we had to debate, that would be great, but it's not. But you know, that's always been the case. From the time that even Paul was setting up churches, we have always had to defend or explain or speak about what it is we believe. In fact, this morning I want to speak on a specific topic. I've entitled this, "The Fact Is." The Fact Is. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I wish I had about 3 hours and we could just go through this whole chapter together. This is the resurrection chapter. If you don't understand the resurrection, if you don't understand what it's about, if you don't know what we celebrate, then I urge you to go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and just take time and read it. Take time and study it, because it is going to answer all the questions that you have. But I want us to deal with verses 12 through about 22 or 23. Just here in the middle, I want us to deal with one area. So as you turn there, we begin at verse 12. "Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" The Apostle Paul was dealing with the Corinthian church, who he was a major part of setting up, who others had preached in this church, and there was no contradiction in the preaching. There was no problem in what was being said and the sermons that were being preached. The doctrine was pretty simple, that Jesus paid the price for our sins. Everything we sung about this morning, everything we're talking about, they believe. That's what they were preached, is that Jesus lived, He died, He rose from the dead, He ascended to the Father, He's making intercession until He returns and takes us home. It was a simple doctrine. But it's amazing how within a short period of time that Paul is having to write back to this church, and he's having to say, what is the deal? Well, our preaching was pretty simple. You got it straight from us, that if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say now some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead, that there is no coming to life, that it was just simply a life, that we believe in Jesus, but we don't believe that He rose from the dead. It kind of fits in our modern thinking. we like the Bible. We like the Bible. But really, what we say about most of the Bible now, even people that are really educated people, we like to say that most of it are just symbols. That it's really not true stories, they're just symbolism of what really could have happened, or what God was trying to say. So like when Noah built an ark, Noah really didn't build an ark, and there really wasn't a flood. It was just symbolic of how God was going to flood the earth, and how He was wanting man to choose Him, and He is their protection. It's like Daniel in the lion's den. That really didn't happen, and Jonah didn't get swallowed up by any fish or anything. That's just all, it's just symbolism so that they can tell a story in the Bible, and so they can try to share with you. So you're not supposed to take it literal. And when you start to go down that road, then becomes the question, then what is real and what is just simply a story? You can kind of pick and choose then. Well, I think that could have happened. Now, I know that didn't happen. I kind of believe that happened, but you know, that being raised from the dead thing, I think that was just a symbol of what God was wanting to say, that one day we'll all be raised from the dead. But that's not the preaching. Paul corrects them and says, look, let me explain something to you. Let's begin to read as we read a little faster here. Verse 13. But if there be no resurrection from the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. They're gone. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now, a lot of times when that's preached, you hear people pray, well, if I have hope in this life only, I'm a man most miserable. But that's really not what is being said. He's not saying that these are people that don't believe in Christ. In fact, they believe the moral life that Jesus lived. They appreciate the moral standards. It's like people today, they don't have a problem with the Bible itself. In fact, there are people that have been presidents, and Bill Clinton once said that if we all lived by this book, it would be a much better world. That doesn't mean that he did it. It just means that it would have been a much better world if we just lived. Because morally, this book is wonderful. If we forgave our enemies and we loved those that hate us and we treated everybody fairly and we didn't steal or rob or do those things, it would be a wonderful world if we just lived by what's being taught in this book. But the problem is that if we live our lives based off of this book, and we use it as just a moral standard, and that's all it is, and we take it and say that if in this life only we have hope in Christ, that Jesus gave us a great way to live, that Jesus gave us a great standard, that Jesus gave us all these wonderful ways to be good to people and how to overcome things and how to have self-confidence and how to think better of yourself and how to overcome depression and different things. If this is all the book is about, if it's just about us doing good on this side, then no matter how much we think, we're still miserable. Because at best, we get to live 80 years and 100 years, and it's all for nothing. All the cars we stick in garages, they're just there to rot. All the things we try to teach, they're just going to go with us to the grave. All the work that we've done, it's for useless. I mean, it's just simply to make us feel better. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I want to read it from the Amplified, not the whole thing, but I want to read just a few verses from the Amplified. Verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is mere delusion, futile and fruitless, and you are still in your sins or under the control and penalty of sin. And further, those who have died in the spiritual fellowship and the union with Christ have perished, they're lost. If we who are abiding in Christ have hope only in this life, and that's all, then we are all a people most miserable and to be pitied. Look at the person beside you and say, do you want to be pitied? I mean, people drive by on Sundays when they're headed to do their thing, and they look at us and they're like, them poor people. They go into church, and I'm getting to go do my thing today. Because if there is no resurrection, then what people say is right. I mean, we're gathered in here and it helps us live better lives, but really and truly, what's it of any value? Just helps us not cuss as bad. Maybe we won't cheat as bad. The Apostle Paul says, if we were abiding in Christ, hope only in this life, and that's all, we are of all the people most miserable and to be pitied. But I love this. But the fact is, look at the person beside you and say, but the fact is, I don't care what your drunk buddy told you. I don't care what your weekend warrior told you. I don't care what some misfit that's been messed up most of his life told you. The reason I got my lime green britches on today is because you're fixing to meet the happiest man you've ever met in your life. Because the fact is, Jesus Christ has been risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is alive and He's well. Jesus Christ is coming again. And He's coming for those who are expecting and looking for His return. I got to get in this before I get in this. But the fact is that Christ, the Messiah, has been raised from the dead. And He became the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Now, the Apostle Paul uses some crazy ways of describing this and doing this. He uses a positive and a negative. I always like that. That's the way when I try to talk to people, I always use the positive and the negative. I don't try to make decisions for people. I don't try to tell you what to do. Maybe that's what makes me a good pastor or a bad pastor. I don't know. But I'm never going to come to you and just say, now you just better do this. No, my goal and my hope is that you would choose something because out of your heart you know it's the right thing. I have found out in my life that if somebody doesn't do something out of love or because they believe it, when your back is turned, they're going to do what they want to do anyway. So the greatest goal is not to force somebody to do something, but to try to give them the opportunity to make the right choice so that when they walk out of the room, they know why they're doing what they're doing. And so the Apostle Paul, dealing with his friends and dealing with those that are part of the Christian faith, he deals with two different sides. First, he says, let's look at it in the negative. Let's look at the negative side of this situation. You're preaching and you've got these people coming into church that's saying Jesus never rose from the dead. Even though we preach this to you, you're starting to believe and you're starting to listen to all of this doctrine that maybe there is no heaven and maybe there is no hell and maybe Jesus didn't raise Himself. Maybe it's just all made up. Maybe it's just all symbolism and we're all educated people. I mean, how many people you know were raised from the dead? None. Well, what makes Jesus so special? Why do you think He rose from the dead? The negative side is that if Christ is not risen, then the positive side is, he said, but if He is. Let's look at that negative side. Will you do that with me? Number one, if Christ is not risen, if Jesus did not come back from the dead, then His own testimony is a lie. Now you're saying, but we like what He said. Because even the people that don't want to believe that He was raised from the dead, they still say He was a great teacher. He was a great man. He went about doing good. He didn't do anything wrong. Well, let's just look at that. If He was such a great man, and He was doing good and helping people, then He had to be schizophrenic. He had to have been a little mentally off, because in our day and time, if He would have done all the things that He had done, and yet if He would have preached what He would have preached, we would have done the same thing that they would have done. We would have said, we love You healing sick people. We love You raising dead people. We love the fact that You can walk on water. But go with me to John, the second chapter, and verse 19. This guy is really a Fruit Loop. We are in this room today worshiping, praising a Fruit Loop. Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple. Go ahead and kill Me. In 3 days, I will raise it up." You've got to make a decision. Either Jesus was out of His mind, or He knew what He was talking about. But if there is no resurrection, then He just didn't know what He was talking about. He was just a man, and really, everything He said was untrue. When He talked about the kingdom, and He talked about heaven, and He talked about knowing the Father, and He talked about all these things. Go with me to John 11 and verse 25. This guy was out of his mind. Jesus said unto her, "I am." He's standing over Lazarus's grave. He's standing over a dead... He's standing in a cemetery. Standing in a cemetery, He looks at this woman and says, "Woman, I am the resurrection and the life. And that he that believeth in Me should what? Though he were dead, yet shall he live." Now you've got to make up your mind. If Jesus was only a good man who died, who just did, this guy was a little off his rocker. That's what the world wants you to believe. I know it gets quiet in here right now because you don't want to listen to it this way. You want to hear it from the world's way. Now, we like Jesus. We think He's a good man. We're just not saying that He was... You know, there's a lot of ways to God. What they're saying is that this guy did not know what he was talking about. That Jesus was a Fruit Loop. That he was lost his mind. That Jesus Christ of Nazareth was just a man who died, and when he died, it was over. That everything he ever preached and everything he ever said was nothing but a bog of lies. If that's the truth, then also then his disciples were completely deceived. These men that he talked into leaving their businesses, leaving their thing and say, "Follow me," he totally deceived them. Somehow, some way, they were tricked. And somehow, in some way, the body got moved and situated, and somebody started spreading a rumor. And these men were so deceived. Go with me to Acts 4 and verse 2. Do you know what you would believe if you believed that there is no resurrection, that Jesus is not alive? Do you understand a lot of times what the world is trying to get you to understand and try to believe? Being grieved, they taught the people. And preach through Jesus the what? This was their sermon. These guys left everything. Were all eventually killed. One at a time. Killed. Martyred. Some of them boiled in oil. All of them dying for the gospel. Because they believed a lie. That Jesus was actually raised from the dead. And they went around preaching this in Asia all the way to Rome. The Apostle Paul and others who believed this gave their lives believing not just simply that Jesus was a good man and that Jesus had some good sayings and we ought to put him some quotes down and we ought to put a book of the quotes of Jesus. No, they put together this book and they said, you know what? This book is what we believe. That this book that all the writings of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, and then as the Apostle Paul in prison begins to write to the Corinthians and the Philippians and the Galatians and all the others, that we believe that Jesus Christ lived and He died, but He rose from the dead, and today He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and He's coming back again. I don't know what you're looking for. I don't know what you're expecting. I don't know what your life is all about, but I got news for you. The King of kings will return. That was their message. People like the Queen of England. She's an idiot. Because Queen Elizabeth, when she put her crown on her head, she had the priest of Canterbury put it upon her head. You know what he said? He said, "You wear this crown until the one who has the right to remove it shall return." In other words, he put it on her head with the understanding that you get to wear this crown. Oh, we love Queen Elizabeth and we love Diana and we love... No, no. When he put it on her head, he said, "You wear this only until the one who has the right to come and remove it from your head shall return." And she didn't have any problem. Every disciple, every person who's ever believed, every person who's ever thought about it has received. You've been deceived. They gave their life for nothing. It was just a crazy man's bunch of lies that people were willing to die for. Then the Christian church, this morning, we are the most gigantic fraud the world has ever seen. Eventually, they're just going to have to come and they're going to have to arrest us. Come on. Eventually, they're going to have to come and arrest us. Because we're perpetrating the biggest fraud the world has ever seen. I took up an offering a while ago. The offering was for this cause. It was so that we might, through that, try to win, more souls to Jesus Christ. If there is no winning souls to Jesus, if it's all fake, if it's all just made up, then I'm perpetrating the most gigantic fraud that there's ever been in the world. We built buildings for nothing. We witnessed for nothing. Do you understand that if you don't believe in the resurrection, do you understand that if you don't settle this in your mind, do you understand that if you can't celebrate this moment, then it robs you of every single thing that has ever been given to you? You cannot take just the part you like and leave out the resurrection. You can't just take the part, "Well, I like what he said. You know, I like Jesus and I know he loves everybody." No, no, without the resurrection. Without being able to stand and look at somebody and say, "He rose from the dead." Somebody will say, "Well, Muhammad didn't rise from the dead." No, he didn't. Gandhi never rose from the dead. No, he didn't. Buddha never rose from the dead. No, he didn't. None of them were the Son of God. They were all in a pursuit of God. Some of them call it nirvana. Some of them call it different things. But all they're doing is in a pursuit of trying to find God. But the reality is that God found us. God came to us in the form of His Son. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Either He was the craziest man that ever lived on this earth, or He was who He says He was. And every one of us in this room will stand in front of Him one day. Either the world is right, we're perpetrating the biggest fraud. People all over the world today are celebrating something that doesn't exist. We're celebrating something that isn't real. Or we're celebrating something that is eternal. Then the Christian experience is a grand illusion. I grew up, part of me being excited was listening to people when I was growing up, their testimonies of what Jesus had done for you who have been delivered from drugs. You really weren't delivered from drugs. You just finally found a way to get off of it. You just accredited it to Jesus. Some of you that have been set free from bondage, of depression and different things, it really wasn't Jesus. That's just all up in your mind. You just convinced yourself that it was a Jesus. And that we've just had a great delusion on ourselves. The reason you feel better is because you think you feel better. There's nothing really real going on. It's nothing really inside that's actually happened. It's all a delusion. than we who believe in the immortality of man have been believing in a fool's paradise. I stand, you know how many graveyards I stand in front of? You know how many families I meet at funerals? Do you know how many people I have to watch put loved ones in a ground all the time? Do you understand that everything I've told them is just a lie? It's just to make them feel better. It's all just like a fool's paradise. Really, when you die, you just stay in the ground and rot. It's over. Really, when you die, you don't go to heaven. You don't. Your body doesn't separate from your spirit. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you believe what the world says, then when you're dead, that's it. It's over. Don't matter who you cheated. Don't matter what you've done. Do whatever you want to do. Live like a dog if you want to. Because when you die, it's all over anyway, right? It goes to the grave with you. It's over. It ain't like you got to go anywhere. It ain't like you got to face anybody. Then all that we believe is a grand illusion. All those loved ones you put in the ground, you'll never see them again. All the ones you loved and you stood there and said, I'm not saying goodbye, I'll just see you later. You were lying to yourself. You understand what the Corinthians were trying to sell themselves in their day and time? You understand what the Corinthians were trying to convince themselves of as truth? They were robbing themselves of everything that they believed. Because it was easier for them to be able to look and say, look, we can sell this. I mean, it's not easy to walk up to somebody you've never met and say, well, what do you believe? Well, I believe in a man that lived 2,000 years ago. He was a good man. In fact, he was the Son of God. He lived a sinless life. He never did one thing. Now, come on now. No. He lived a sinless life. No sin. They killed him because of this very fact, what I'm telling you. The fact that he stood up and he said, I am the Son of God. That I can forgive sins. That I am the resurrection. They killed him. But the grave could not hold him. 3 days later, he picked his own body up out of the ground. Walked right out of a tomb. And has never, never been dead since. I believe. That's what I believe. Man, that's crazy. I know it. To smart people who've been married 12 times and can't raise kids right, I know what I sound like. It's ridiculous. But just think for a moment. If what I'm telling you is true, then just maybe there's more to life than what you're living. Just maybe there's more to life than what the world is letting you see. Maybe convincing yourself every day that what my world is this little thing. I go to work and I have this house and I have this car. That's my world. No, that's not your world. That's so insignificant a part of your world. Your world is eternal. Your world is everlasting. Whatever it is you put your hands on and it won't last forever, then know this, that it ain't part of your world. Whatever you put your hands on and it won't last forever, then it can't be part of your world because you, my friend, will last forever. That's why Jesus said, store your riches up in heaven. Why? Moth cannot eat them. Neither can rust devour it. Why was he saying that? He said, because he's looking at a bigger picture in your life. He's saying, look, your life isn't about what you drive. Why? Because the junkyard is full of cars that somebody drove off a brand new car lot. They crush them every day. Somebody drove that off in 1970 and 1980. They drove that car off and thought, boy, I'll have this car forever. Now they sell it for parts. Why? Because it's not eternal. People that you give your life to, well, I'm gonna give my life to this person. They're not eternal. I see it every day when I look in the mirror. I'm getting a little bit grayer. I look like a schnauzer now when they give me a haircut. I look at the floor when they're through, and I mean, it just looks like a schnauzer. It's just black and gray, black and gray. People that do my hair, they just laugh. They say, salt and pepper. I say, it's getting more pepper, and it's getting less pepper, and it's more salt. And I'm realizing if you're putting your trust in me, I'm not eternal. I could die of a heart attack today. What are you going to do? Quit church because Pastor Lott's not here anymore? Is that what you put your hope in? If you can't put your hand on something that won't last forever, then it's not worth your trust. It's not worth total dependency. It won't last. If all that we've done and all that we've shared and everything that we've told people is just a luge, finally, then we are all men most miserable. Paul said, if you want to know what it feels like, Corinthians, then let me share it to you the most. Then if you reach this state, is anybody excited right now about everything I've told you? No. Because if I knew I'd never see my grandfather again, if I knew that Jesus was just a schizophrenic maniac that was running around faking miracles and then doing nice things and saying some good words, but he's still in the grave, if I knew in my heart that I was robbing you because, Lord, there really isn't nobody to save. I mean, we're not really doing any God work. So this buildings and all this is just a facade. Let me tell you, the most miserable people in the world would be me. I spent over 25 years of my life, longer than some of you have been alive. I've been preaching this gospel, sharing this message with drug addicts, with lost people, with broken marriages, with sharing a message that Jesus is alive. He hears your prayers. He answers them. He oversees and watches over you. He's your intercessor. If all that I've been sharing with you is a lie, if the world is right, then I am the most miserable man in this world. The Apostle Paul said, think about what you're saying. But I'm so glad he didn't stop there. He said, I want to give you the fact. And he said, the fact is that Jesus Christ is alive. Now, he's not speaking from some way off knowledge. He's not speaking from something that happened 200 years before him. He's talking about something that he was still around when Peter and James and John and all of them, he was still there hearing their testimonies and their stories. He was still there. There are people that were still alive, as he would later write, that said was there when he ascended into heaven. There were people that this isn't something that happened in the back room. The Pharisees knew it and they rechanged the stories. The Romans knew it and they paid off the soldiers. This is not something that happened in a back room. This was not something that died out in 50 years. Can I tell you that 2,000 years later, the story still stands. It still remains. It's still anointed. Why? Because it all happened just the way He said it did. Then our preaching then is not in vain. If He's alive, then Sam, I want to preach to everybody I can because it's not in vain. When I tell them that there's a Lord who's listening right now, He's listening right now. When I tell them there's one that's on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you right now, then can I tell you that on the right hand of the Father right at this moment is one who is alive, who has scars in his hands and his feet, and he looks down from the throne room of heaven and he hears your prayers and he hears your cries and he knows your problems and he knows what you go through. He's not immune to your infirmities. He's not immune to your temptations. He's endured everything that you go through, and He's given you a path and a way you cannot have to go through the way He did, a way that you can escape the corruption and the sin and the problem and live above everything that comes against you. Oh, then our preaching is not in vain. I can look at you this morning when you say, man, I need help. You need Jesus. I need an answer. You need Jesus. I need something to change the way I'm... You need Jesus. Why? Because He's alive. He is well. If our preaching then is not in vain, then what else is alive? Then our faith is not in vain. Everything He said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He looks at His disciples on the last night that He's with them. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. My faith today is not in what's going to happen on the economy. I can tell you what's going to happen in the economy. I can tell you our nature. If you ain't figured it out yet, I'll just share it with you. We're going to spend until we can't afford no more. That's just the way we're built. Our hearts are never satisfied. We are worldly people. If you give worldly people, when they built the United States and they set all the declaration and everything in place, you know what the forefathers said? They said, if this country is not run by Christian people, it will not stand. Why? Because without Christian ethics, without Christian morale, without Christian ways of seeing things, you can't have that much freedom. You'll abuse the freedom. That's why the most lucrative people in America today are lawyers. That's why a lady can stab somebody 29 times, shoot him 4 times, and still everybody's wondering whether she's going to be found guilty or not. Why? Because if it's not run by ethical people, people who know Christ and have Him in their heart, then they'll take the power that there is and they'll abuse it. They'll lie. They'll cheat and they steal. And I'm not a Democrat, Republican, I'm not anything. I'm just telling you that when men have power and they don't have God at the center of their life, I'm telling you what's going to happen. It don't matter if it's a business. It don't matter if it's a country. It doesn't matter what it is. It's going to happen the same way. And we are running headlong, trying to live by morals when we have no morals. If it's not real, then we don't have anything to worry about. But if it is real, then those who have fallen asleep, I get to see them again. I used to be a song my mom and dad would sing. And during the song, part of it was where he would say, one of these days I'm going to sit down by the river of life. And I'm going to sit down with my dad. And we're going to talk about all the things we used to do. And somebody's going to come up and they're going to ask, how did you make it through? And my dad used to just raise his voice and he'd say, I came through tribulations. How about you? I used to hear that, just raise that voice. I used to think, one of these days, I'm going to sit with my papa. When I was 18 years old, I used to carry cassettes. Some of y'all don't know what those are, but they're cassettes. And I had just a little black player, and I just started in the ministry and just started preaching, and he done had 2 strokes and his body was just about to give out on him. He would sit at a kitchen table and I'd give it to him and he'd be listening to it while Mama fed me something to eat, and he'd grip that old table with those hands. He wanted to so bad. So much fire still in him, but his body couldn't do it. And he'd just say, preach it to him. I want to sit down with him one day and I want to share with him all the people I met and all the things that God did. I want to share with him like yesterday at this Easter party, watching little kids, because he loved to fish. The first person that ever used to take me fishing other than my dad was my grandfather. We'd sit there, hold the stringers, and sometimes lose them while he would be fishing. I can't wait to sit down and say, Papa, I used to have 30 kids around and I just put crickets on. And if Jesus is alive, then all of those that I love that have died in the Lord, I haven't lost them. I haven't misplaced them. When I stand at a funeral home and I'm not real all choked up and I'm not all depressed and I'm like, kind of hard to be here, because I don't get depressed at funeral homes. If I know someone is alive, I'm just smiling. I mean, I feel the pain of the flesh that I hate. I'm not going to see that person for a while. But inside, I'm just like, all right. Why? Because I may not see them for a few years, but I am fixing to spend all eternity with them. I'm fixing to have all the time that I need to sit down. And all those times we didn't have time to talk, and all those times we didn't... In this life, I run, and I run. And I don't have time a lot of times. I was here at 5 o'clock cutting these things for the choir this morning, and that's my life. When I get into heaven, I look forward to the day when He says, Tim, your labors are over. Me and Johnny can sit down when we don't have time now. And others of you that I'd love to be able to eat with you and spend time with you. Right now I'm running. My clock is ticking. But there's coming a day, Brittany, when I have all the time in the world. In fact, we won't even ever mention time again. Somebody say eternity is a long time. No, eternity has no time at all. None. Finally, if Jesus is alive, if He is who He says He is, then we are not men most miserable. I got my lime green pants on today because I am happy from the inside out. The fact that He's alive and well, this is my favorite holiday. The world doesn't understand it. There's some people that will come today, I probably won't see you much the rest of the year. But if you understood what I know, if you understood the value of your life, if you understood the gift that was given, if you understood who He was, really who He was, then you would spend every day of your life honoring Him and loving Him. You would spend every day of your life trying to share somebody to get them to know Him. If He was the resurrection and the life, if He was the way, the truth, and the life, if He was the only Son of God, then we ought to be in this room today. And every day, every opportunity we have to praise Him and thank Him. I just came by today to tell you the facts are real simple. After 2,000 years, His name still carries all the same weight. The world still trembles at His name just like it did then. Why do you think they try so hard to get Him out of the schools, get Him out of anything? They don't want you to put up a Christmas anything. They don't want you to do any type of nativity scenes anywhere that's... It's not because it's on public grounds. It's because when somebody walks in this world and tries to convince themselves that He's not alive, He's not alive, it doesn't take very long before inside their very own souls, inside their very own hearts, something cries out, yes, He is. When we get to heaven one day and we stand before God, whether we're sinner or saint, it's not going to matter. Some sinner is going to stand there and say, nobody ever told me about you. I never thought there was a you. Jesus is going to say, oh no. So many times I touched that heart. So many times I told you I was real. So many times I told you that you chose not to believe. You chose that maybe, just maybe it's not real. Maybe He was just a fruitcake. Maybe He just died and that's it. Maybe He didn't know what He was talking about. But if He did, then every one of us in this room is going to stand in front of Him one day. And I hope that you're able to smile and say, I've been looking for you. Will you stand? If you're in this room today, maybe the just conversations with the world, teachers, people you know. Maybe you get like the Corinthian church. You know what you've been taught and what was told to you, but boy, that seems like it's so unreal. How can a man come back from the dead? Came by today to remind you that if you believe in Christ, it's everything to believe that He came back from the dead. I believe He was a good man. I believe He was sinless. I believe He healed sick people. I believe He did good. I believe that they did what they said, that they crucified Him, they nailed Him to a cross and pierced His side. I believe that. I believe they took Him down, and I believe they put Him in a grave, a borrowed tomb. But that's where it changes with me and a lot of people. I don't believe He was just a good man. I believe what He said when He told them that if you put Me in the ground, if you destroy this temple, in 3 days, I will raise it back to life. I believe what He told those ladies that day in that graveyard. I believe He says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection. Yet though you were dead, yet shall you live. I believe that on the third day, I believe something miraculous happened. I believe the ground shook. I believe the Romans that were standing there, as they said, were terrified. I believe the stone rolled back. I believe that one who is described by John in the book of Revelations came walking out of there. I believe it was Jesus. I believe today that whosoever believeth in Him, cast all their hope on Him, you won't perish, but you'll have everlasting life. Don't let today be about just dressing up. Don't let today be just, well, it's Easter, I gotta go to church. Settle it in your mind that He is alive. He is well. He loves you. We pray. Father, if there's one person in the sound of my voice, that God, today this has made them think. It's hard to try to tell people that we believe in somebody who is alive, that we can't see Him, but He's there. He lives inside of us. God, it is what we have to do by faith. It's what we're called to do to be Christians. We believe in a risen Savior. It's what separates us. We are not religious. Religion is the worshiping of a lot of ideas by dead people. We are in relationship. The one that we love is alive. The one that we worship is well. God, today, let us settle that in our hearts. Let us not blink when somebody asks us, what do you believe? I believe Jesus is alive. I believe He's on the right hand of the Father. And I believe He still does miracles. I believe He still saves souls. I believe people this morning all over the world will see salvation because of who He is. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. If you're traveling today, I hope that you have a very safe trip. God bless you.